Welcome back to Theater Cleaners. It has been a little while.
It's been a hot minute.
We got busy, and then...
We got less busy. We did some edits. And so we got you guys, like, the last season, but honestly, sitting here feels weird. It's been, like, 2 years since we sat down to do one of these.
I have not talked to Todd in 2 years.
I mean, that's so not true. I was actually thinking we're going to make a joke like this, and I was like, that's so not true, because it's like, I feel like we see each other probably like once to twice a month, even just like working normally.
Yeah. I feel like more than that, though, to be honest.
Probably.
No, maybe sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just like a little while.
Yeah, busy season is probably like two, three times a month, maybe
and
more.
And those are the best months of my life.
I love them. They're the best days. They're the best.
Yeah.
But anywho, we are back.
We're back.
We are going to sit down and chat about a dope 2024 movie. It's called Wild Robot, or The Wild Robot. It was up for one of the Oscar noms. And I think this is actually the first time we sat down to talk about an animated movie. So,
is it really?
Yeah, right? I feel like we should have done this before, because I watch a ton of animated movies.
Oh, it is. I guess with Kill Bill, there was a little bit of animation,
like,
but it wasn't. I wouldn't consider that an animated movie.
No, it was definitely live action focused.
Yeah.
But, I mean, starting us off, I think one thing that's been really cool and really interesting to see with a lot of animated stuff in recent years is leaning into your animation style.
Oh, yeah. Because trying to go away from, like, the hyper-realistic, where I feel like there was a peak of that, and that was Polar Express.
Absolutely.
Like in the early
2000s. I thought you were really going to go like Shrek 3, but, you know.
Maybe. I don't know if I've ever seen Shrek 3.
Oh, dude, Shrek 3.
What was that one about? Shrek and Donkey and Fiona? Probably.
Well, I mean, obviously. Who cares? We're sidetracking.
This is not the movie we're talking about.
Yeah. But even then, it's like a... Think about like old school Disney or like a lot of old animation films that like we grew up on. All had a lot of like similar looks or similar styles of it because of like that's where technology was at that point.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Whereas, you're talking about how the divergence of look
came to a point where it started. It's not like a constraint anymore.
Yeah.
There's so many like technical advancements that like now your animation style is an artistic choice beyond just like a technical achievement.
True.
If that makes sense.
No, I agree. I think that is. I think that's a valid point, because some of the best animated movies I feel like people are talking about recently are ones that really embrace their own animation style.
Oh,
like
for sure.
This one a couple years ago with Spider-Man.
Into the Spider-Verse.
Into the Spider-Verse. That had its really own animation style that I feel like was one of the major points that people talked about it, because it was really cool.
Well, it was also cool because with the multiverse thing that they did in that film, they got to branch out into multiple animation styles.
They had,
so that's where... I think that's where a lot of people kind of started paying attention to, like, oh, it's an artistic choice versus, mm-hmm. like, oh, this is just, like, where we're at technology-wise.
Yeah. True. I can't speak to any of that. I don't know anything about animation other than I like how a lot of it looks.
I agree. I think there's been, you know, a lot of, like, markets that, like, lean into a certain look. And mm-hmm. with, I mean, obviously this one... Spoiler, didn't end up winning the Oscar. It lost to Flow, which also leaned into a very stylistic animation choice. But speaking of this being a fucking good movie, the reason why I think it was such a good movie was, like, the themes and the story itself was mm-hmm. really, like, it resonated super heavily with me. And I think it was really interesting because this is a kid's movie.
Did it make you cry?
Absolutely, like multiple times.
I shed a tear.
Yeah, I mean...
I shed a tear.
I feel like you can't watch this and, like, not have that, like, human moment. Like, if you don't feel during this moment, like, I kind of feel bad for you because I'm like, you're out of touch with your own, like, self in a way.
Yeah.
But also, I find it really interesting because, like, for a kid's movie, it deals a lot with, like... death.
Oh, yeah. Dude, this movie is brutal. Like, in the best way possible. It gives no regard to how quickly characters are killed and or like kind of how brutally either sometimes. It's like it's trying to comment about like how nature is so brutal, and then like in the end of the movie it's like, "Oh, you know, like kindness and compassion is like good."
Yeah.
Right? Like the classic animal movie where they all come together and they stop eating each other. But like
But compared to, like, any other animal-based movie, like, think about, like, Open Season with, like, Doug and Elliot or whatever, the bear and the deer. Like, no sense of mortality, no sense of, like, the animal cycle, whereas this one immediately jumps out, and it's like, like, think about it. I mean, obviously, it starts off with, you know, the her squashing the nest or whatever.
Oh, that's pretty, that's a pretty, like, intense moment, because you know it's going to come back later.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's just like...
But, like, fast forward a little bit to where, what is it, like, Bright Bill ends up hatching or whatever, following her around, and she's trying to figure out what her task is, and she runs into Mama Possum with all the babies.
Oh, and then, like, one of the babies gets like, attacked.
Yeah, she's like, I'm a mother of seven. Oh, six. And she just doesn't bat an eye. And it was, like, that's kind of, like, the... I think that's one of those things, is, like, being an older viewer watching it, you're like...
You get it.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You're like, whereas, like, a kid, it might blow over.
But also, that is one of the... simultaneously most, like, intense moments of that, but also, spoiler, the kid, that possum baby is not dead.
Yeah, it survived.
It survived.
It made it.
Because one of the great lessons of life is playing dead can save your life. If you're a possum.
I mean, I don't even think you had to throw that in there.
No, I didn't, but I did.
Yeah, okay.
It was a joke about possums, Todd.
No, I get it.
Possums play dead. You know, there's a whole thing in the movie where they like play dead.
Yeah, it's what was the disease?
I'm dying from polio or something like that.
Yeah, it was like oh God, I want to say
one,
it was like gingivitis or something.
The one
was
taking
the silent killer.
The one was taking so long to die. No, I'm dying of high blood pressure.
I love it too, and it's so like
you don't need to tell them what you're dying of when you die.
You don't need to explain your death. No, I loved it. And it's
that's a good lesson for movies, to be honest.
I mean, yeah.
You don't need to explain every character's death, to be honest.
No, I think it was really cool. But carrying on with like the storyline, you get to Fink, the fox. And, you know, you have to like, he teaches the robot about like, hey, you shield mortality from kids, which is kind of funny because it's like, that's what this movie is putting right in front of
is just
faces.
Mortality,
right? But like Fink is like, no, you can't, like, you can't just be like cut and dry, like this is what happened. But I also think Fink as a character was honestly one of my favorites throughout the whole film. That's a really good question. Who is your favorite character?
Fink is a good character, obviously. He like, out of everybody, I feel like Fink might have the most like interesting character arc, coming from being like super selfish and then in the end being the factor that brings the entire force together.
Dude, that's actually, I did write something down of like, you know, doing the right thing no matter like how hard, or doing it just with like no reward, like in the snowstorm would be that pinnacle moment for Fink.
Yeah, exactly. I think Fink is close. I don't know who my favorite character is. I think I really liked the beaver. What was the beaver's name?
Paddler.
Paddler. Because he was just kind of, like, funny. And then also seemed a little bit like, if this is going to be, like, an analogous to, like, some kind of, like, fantasy movie, which obviously, like, fantasy as in, like, mages, wizards, stuff. He was, like, almost like an oracle. Like, I felt like he knew more than he should. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he was a...
Like, I felt like he could see the future a little bit.
Yeah,
like,
a bit of a seer.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
That's his whole life's purpose, with cutting down like the biggest tree
on
the island.
True. Yeah. No, like, you're not.
Like his whole life is like, it's like a Hodor. It's a
yes,
Hodor situation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is exactly what it was. All right. Well, what about you? Who's your favorite character? Wait. Can I guess first?
Sure. Yeah.
This is hard. I think your favorite character might be the old goose.
Dude. I'm actually really torn.
What was his name
too? So the old goose's name is Longneck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm torn between him and the Falcon Thunderbolt.
Ah, Thunderbolt was
Thunderbolt,
cool too.
I was like, dude, this character just like, it hits for me. Of just like,
yeah, he's
dive.
Like, he's just a badass.
Yeah,
he's like,
he just comes
dive.
In. It's about heart.
Like, there is no reason for that character to be so like.
Oh my God, I know.
I don't know.
Well,
I also
Ving
thought
Rhames, if you know who that is.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the perfect casting.
Yeah, casting is another thing about this movie that's fantastic.
Oh my God,
Pedro Pascal as Fink, fantastic,
awesome.
And this cast is just star-studded too. Like even in like minor roles.
Oh yeah,
it's fantastic. Well, you've got like Mark Hamill as the bear, dude.
I was just about to say that. Yeah,
dude. I don't know. Mark Hamill's one of my favorite voice actors because like.
See, I wouldn't even say it's like star-studded necessarily. I mean, Pedro Pascal and Mark are like the two biggest names, but it's a lot of like actors from like notable roles or like TV shows that people can really resonate with. So I feel like that's where it like
makes
it feel more star-studded.
I think that's the definition of star-studded.
Oh yeah.
Is it not?
I don't know.
Fair.
I'm picturing like all A-listers kind of.
You don't think a lot of those guys are A-listers? I think a lot of them are A-listers.
I'm going to show you what I'm looking at on my laptop.
You don't recognize, like, half of these faces? I know every single...
But are you saying they're A-listers? Okay. I would say these are, like, B's.
I would say... Okay, Pedro Pascal, Mark Hamill...
A's.
Bill Knightley.
I would say B.
Really?
What else?
I feel
off
like
the top
he's...
of your dome.
Okay, that's fair.
The only thing I recognize Padler, like Matt Berry from is...
Well, Matt Berry's, like, in a lot of... He's always the cameo guy, you know, is he not?
Yeah, because I was going to say, the only thing I recognize him from is Community when he plays the grifter.
That's such a random pull.
That's the only role I remember.
Dude, okay, hold on.
Oh, okay. Here's something I actually really wanted to talk about. The themes throughout this movie are obviously really important. Obviously talking about, like... the mortality and stuff like that, teaching it to kids. We also talked about, you know, doing the right thing with Fink, but the one that, like, I think is really interesting to me is the point of view of, like, the mother, like, Roz, to where it's, like, there's kind of that funny, like, duality where she is the caretaker, but she's not, like, able to hide the fact of, like, this is really exhausting. Oh, God, this is kind of a lot. Or, like... you know, she's struggling to, like, try and help this kid, and she's doing everything that she can, but she's not hiding the fact that, like, it's hard. And I think that's really interesting, and that's something that, like, I think is a really important thing that this movie is saying, that maybe even the kids can recognize, like, hey, I should see my mom in a different way. Like, she's doing everything she can to go and help me and get me to where I want to be. And I think it's making a really strong message, not only for, like, the kids in this movie, but also for the parents as well.
It's showing the sacrifice of parents.
Exactly.
To give their kids as much as they can, no
100%.
Matter how hard.
Like, she gets, like, at the end, she gets rid of her whole heart. Like, she loses her foot or whatever and keeps going because she needs to save her kid.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, this whole duality to where it's, like, I'm a caretaker and I need to do what I can, but also... Roz as a robot isn't able to like kind of mask it and be like, no, this is fine, this is noble or whatever. She's like, this is fucking hard, you know?
I don't know what I'm doing.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think there's like a sort of like humility to that. And I think that's what makes this movie really special is it's working on a lot of different levels.
Uh-huh.
And it's telling a lot of stories that are like really good for all parties involved. Like I think anyone who watches this movie is going to get something out of it.
Yeah, I also feel like there's a really interesting commentary on like task-driven versus like other-driven like goals in people's lives. So with Roz, she starts out as being very task-driven with no emotion as she's a robot. And then eventually she starts and you realize that she's like breaking her code and like becoming more like
Human. Yeah.
And or, I guess in this world, animalistic. More living than just a computer. And it goes from being a task to being a family, right? Mm-hmm. It starts from her having no understanding of things beyond I need to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then becomes things you do it because you love it or you do it because you care about something. To where I just think that's an interesting thing. I think a lot of the times in people's lives, they get too focused on completing things and doing the tasks rather than doing things for enjoyment and or doing things because it's right or for a lot of different reasons. So I feel like that's an interesting commentary to have. Like, just because you're doing something to complete it doesn't mean it's right. You know, dude,
that's a really good tie that I didn't really pick up on. Yeah, I really like that.
I didn't think about that too much until like pretty recently when you were trying to talk about
it's kind of like that, stop and smell the roses sort of mentality.
Exactly.
With Roz doing the, like, obviously she's not taking pictures or anything, but she's like doing the etching of like Bright Bill growing up.
Yeah.
And then includes like Fink and herself and like it's the whole storyline or whatever. It's like a like, memory book and like enjoying that process.
Exactly. And I just think that it like once Bright Bill flies away and then she is like, I guess my task is complete, like when he goes with Long Neck, it's just like that's where you kind of realize, oh, maybe the whole idea of trying to force myself to do one task is not what it's about.
I think that moment is obviously it's one of the best moments in the whole movie. It's definitely one of those that got me choked up because it's like she does the thing. She gets Bright Bill to be a part of the migration and she gets to see Bright Bill like fly off with Long Neck and it's that whole thing. And as she's sitting there, she's realizing like her task is complete, but like, oh, I love this little bird. You know, this is my kid now. And
exactly.
So she goes running after him and then like freaking Long Neck recognizing she's standing on the edge of the
cliff. Bring it back
and that fly back around, dude, that got me so hard the first time I watched this.
Now there are so many different like aspects to hit on about this movie, but another one I feel like is Bright Bill is different, super different from the rest.
Absolutely.
Gets bullied for it
for
right
sure.
But then in the end He's the hero because this movie's talking about how, you know, just because you're different doesn't mean you're any less. And sometimes it means that you can see something from a different angle, which can help you actually do better at what people considered normal or like more assimilated with each other would be able to figure out.
That's a whole other perspective that I honestly am not. I feel like I'm failing because I didn't
even think about
that.
You're too normal.
No, I'm too focused on like the even like that's one of the main messages. But I'm too focused on like some of the other things that the movie's saying throughout that I like.
I feel like
didn't even remember to pick up on that.
This movie just says so much about different things. Like
it really is a good teacher. Like I feel like there hasn't been like a movie that's been this solid in terms of like entertaining, beautiful, but also has such strong messaging for all people.
Definitely.
Like, I really don't remember an animated film I've seen like this in that way.
What do you think your favorite aspect of this movie is? Honestly, what really made it enjoyable right out the gate is, like, the brutality of just, like, the animals killing each other. That was just, like, it brings you in real quick. And then the art style is amazing. Do you have a picture of the art style?
Yeah, I can bring up the art style.
Like, that's, I don't know, those are some of the things that really hook you in. And then you're just watching it, and then you're getting towards the end of it, and you're like, oh, wait, this is a really good movie.
No, it's
when you're
really
like,
good.
After you get hooked by, like, the fun stuff, you're like, oh, this is, like, awesome.
See,
you know,
one of the most interesting things to me, I think, throughout this movie is, from, like, an adult perspective, it's take on, like, the future and where AI like kind of leads in a sense.
True.
Because I thought it was the first time I watched the movie, because I watched this twice. But it was the first time I was watching this movie and I was just sitting down to enjoy it before we even decided to like do this. And we're watching the migration scene and you see that cut scene where it's like the Golden Gate Bridge is underwater and it's like.
True. Yes.
Oh, shit.
I forgot about that.
And then it
I
cuts forgot about another it. City like, that's underwater, but you see like the highways popping out and stuff like that. And each time you go past like what would be an iconic town, there's a cataclysmic global phenomenon that had happened that moved people away from these areas and pushed them towards like a higher civilization.
Exactly.
Which is where all the problems are going.
Because at first you're not necessarily exactly sure where it's taking place. Like, is it on a different planet or something like that?
That was one thing I wrote down actually that I thought was really interesting is I was kind of curious like where this island is.
Yeah.
In terms of like a geographic thing, because it obviously they migrate over like San Francisco and probably like another California town or something.
I want to say it's probably in Monterey.
Ooh, I was going to say somewhere like Alaska upper coast.
Well, because the way that they're flying up past the Golden Gate.
So they would be going down across.
I don't remember, to be honest, actually. I remember, like, how I remember it might not be right.
Yeah.
But I feel like My only justification for it being Monterey is it's kind of cliffy.
Okay.
And otters.
I'm with that.
Beginning. That's my only justification.
I love the otters. And I thought it was a great way that they opened it.
Oh, yeah. It's such an intense, like, moment in that movie. Like, it starts, like, the waves crashing and everything. Like,
yeah, but it starts out of just the otters, like, being playful. And then it reveals it's just a reflection in Roz's eye. And then it goes from there. Like, I thought that was a really cool start. And then it opens into the giant waves coming. Mm-hmm. And Roz immediately learns and Krabs walks up the wall.
Yeah,
I was like,
that was really interesting. Watching Roz
intro.
Yeah, watching Roz learn one, behaviors of animals, and then two, the language of the animals was really funny.
That one was really interesting to me.
I thought that was a great moment. I thought that was a great moment because it makes it feel more real.
Yeah.
While also letting it have animals talk.
Yeah.
Like, these animals can't talk, but Roz has figured out how they communicate, so she can communicate with them.
Is I watched that movie and then I saw like literally a post that like AI is learning to decipher animal language or something like that, and I was like,
that's scary. But like at the same time, people decipher it too, kind of.
You can decipher traits and movements and stuff. But it's like, cool. But back to the thing being like kind of dystopian or future based. It was like definitely really interesting because it's like, we're at such a pivotal time with technology, AI, but also, you know, climate change and the global, you know, melting or whatever.
Global
boiling,
melting,
I guess, is what it's called now. It's just like, none of this seems like all that out of the possibility. And it's really funny, too, because I wrote a kind of like a long script in college that was based around like an event like this where the cities and stuff start going underwater and stuff like that. And so I was
Todd wrote this movie and is required to be paid back.
I would love that. But no, I think it's like really interesting because I think that's something that like multiple people are like, this is a realistic hypothetical. Yeah,
true.
And basing like some storytelling or dystopian storytelling around it is equal parts terrifying, but also interesting because it's like, what if this is posing like a potential solution long-term?
True. I don't know about a potential solution long term. What solution would it be presenting?
Robot cities that do our farming for us.
Fair, valid, true. Okay, so question for you.
Yeah, love question.
Out of everything that you loved in this movie, we talked about a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
What did you not like? What do you think could have been better? What do you, you know, what, come on, nothing's perfect. What's the negative?
Dude, I actually, like, that's where I'm struggling, is as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, God, I don't know what I would say I really disliked other than, like, I kind of wish it was longer or that it set itself up for, like, a good sequel.
True. Carrying on that, maybe a little bit, maybe not, but in my opinion, I feel like where the movie kind of suffered a little bit was when it got away from what I feel like drew me in. And was murder. Kind of like, well, yeah. Well, it kind of went back to murder, to be honest, with robots. But, like, I think what kind of, like, I was like, ah, this movie's turning into that. I kind of wish it stayed what it was a little bit. Was it kind of turned into, like, the animals fighting the robots, the really classic, everybody comes together, do whatever, right? And I was like, why can't we just see, like, an interesting story about, like, the animals and a robot learning to live with them instead of, like, oh, they're saving them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, yeah, sure, it's cool. It's like a fairy tale ending, but sometimes, I don't know, dude, I'm on the vibe of not liking fairy tale endings. It's just, I don't know if I've said this before, but I really liked La La Land for the ending because it's like, oh, it feels good, but it's also like, it's not the perfect ending that everybody wants from the movie, right? I just wish more movies did that, and I feel like this fell into the trap of, oh, it's the perfect wrapped up ending, everything together, everybody knows they love each other, they're all together in the movie, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like,
see, but I feel like
I want to see something, like, you know what I mean?
But I feel like it kind of counters that though with like Roz going back and just getting like mostly wiped or whatever, but even then, like, Fink and the Mark Hamill, the bear.
They talk about,
he's like, I'm still going to hunt you. I'm going to be back to getting after you tomorrow or something like that. Like,
I think
they did wrap it with a bow, but I think they left a little bit of like a door open on that sense of like, hey, they're animals. Yeah. They're not perfect.
Yeah.
So I also agree though. I think
I feel like that whole
a little more like Animal Kingdom or like yeah. more realistic could have been good for it.
I feel like that whole like part where like the robots try to come get Roz and it was like the army coming getting whatever. I was like, now I feel like we're a little too far from what was making this movie like the exciting, good like story that you're like entrapped in. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think it was just that was not what they needed for like the like a driving factor.
Sure.
For like sure. I guess to carry the gap.
Yeah. It is hard to write a good movie. And I'm not trying to say that like it's cop out or whatever. It's just like, you know, it's really hard and I wish there could have been something. I saw like in my mind that there could be some other way to go with it. And I felt like that might be a crutch, but at the same time, like, it was solid, it delivered, and it wasn't bad.
Mm. No, it was really good.
I just wanted to find something to say that's not like, you know.
You don't want to give it too much
space. Gotta have something about it. Like, we're talking about movies. Like, our podcast is about talking about movies, good and bad.
Yeah.
And I feel like far too often we only focus on the good. When I feel like sometimes we should talk about why something isn't perfect, right? Like,
oh, totally. I think with this movie, there is a lot that it's doing good. And mm-hmm. I think that far outweighs maybe what could have been better or what could have been different. But I do think, like, as a whole, it's a real solid movie.
Definitely. Like, definitely.
There's definitely not as much as I would say, like, in some of the past movies that we've watched, I definitely would say there's moments where I'm like, oh, I don't love that they did that. Or like, oh, I wish this would have happened instead.
In past movies
we've talked about. But yeah. like in this one, there's not as much that I would necessarily change because I don't think I can like think the same way that like the writers who came up with this story would, you know?
True.
Like there's a lot of different ways to go about it, but it's all hypothetical and in the future to an extent. So it's like...
Well, it's just a story that they're specifically telling, right? Do you think you would tell it differently, or do you feel like the way that they told it is like the most right way for them to tell it kind of deal?
I think this was the right way for them to tell this story.
Okay. I think the argument I was making before is I feel like they could have done it in a different way.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's the right or the wrong way. I just feel like I personally, as a creative, would have somewhere in the middle done something different. And it could have been worse for it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just feel like I was expecting something.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If they turned this into a TV show, what would your thought be? Would it do well in that format?
I don't think so, because I don't think there's enough story to tell in a TV show. Like, I feel like this is the perfect narrative for a movie, because you can tell a fully fledged story.
I'm not saying take the movie away from being a movie and turn it into a show.
I just feel like once you're at the TV show, what's the story going to be told? Like, the story is Roz learning to become more human and have emotions.
Yeah, but then it's just the adventure.
And then Bright Bill also, like, learning to become a real goose and learn how to fly mm-hmm. in that whole training montage. And then Fink learning to become a caring person, like understanding that it's okay to be loved because he wasn't, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like beyond that, like those arcs were cleaned up and like tied up. How would you put that? Like what is the story for a TV show, you know?
It'd be like a 15 minute episodic, like just the adventures of them now. Like now that Roz is the wild robot, and like Bright Bill can like lead his group and Fink actually has friends, it's whatever they get into like around the island as like a, the way I'd picture it would be like a TV show for kids, of just like a, think about like old Lilo and Stitch, the show.
Are you thinking more like on Disney Plus they have those little like short like mini
Yeah.
episodes? They're not even like, I wouldn't even call it like a TV show. They're like just the little shorts.
Oh, no. I'm saying like, think about like Phineas and Ferb length.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know if there'd be enough story to tell there. I mean, there might be, but I feel like that's a problem I have with a lot of TV shows, is there's always those TV shows that are really good and they get to a certain point and it just drops off a cliff because they're trying to tell too much story. It's like sometimes you just have to let it go. And I feel like there's certain shows that do that well. They understand that they have to let it go at a certain point, and I feel like Breaking Bad is an example of that. Like, it doesn't pull itself too far. It, like, gets to a point, it's like, there's no more story to tell, and we're close to that edge.
Yeah.
It's over. Let's wrap it. Yeah. And I feel like far too many shows go too long, and it's like, where's the story to be told anymore?
For sure.
And I fear that that's what would happen with this on a TV show. I'm not saying it wouldn't be cool, because you could go, like, a little Avatar airbendy with it, like, where it's like, there's, like, a really overarching story that they're not focusing on at all, and they're just being, like, a kid or doing whatever their life. So, yeah, there could be cool, but I don't know.
I think that Avatar route is probably what I was thinking more.
Yeah.
Like, there's the overarching thing that happened, but, like, really, they're just kind of doing their thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
That's an interesting thought. Interesting thought.
All in all, it was really well-rounded. I think the visuals were super interesting. I really enjoyed the animation style, and I also think they, like, really leaned into a lot of, like, the bright colors and stuff like that, which was really nice to see. I think the music actually accompanied it really well. The casting was really solid. And, like, I think as we kind of explored today, like, there were so many, like, themes and different, like, teachings that this movie can give you, that it really can resonate with just about anybody or anybody at, like, any time in their lives. And so I think overall, this is one of the most well-rounded movies and animated films I've seen in a really long time. And I can't think of maybe another one that really hit the same way for me. So I think for me, this was one of those that, like...
This is an impactful movie for you?
Changed me deeply.
Did it teach you that it's okay to have emotions and be loved and fit in with people who you are different from?
No, my therapist taught me that, but, like, the movie resonates.
Then I get it.
But no, it was super good, and I truly, like, I'm not gonna lie, leading up to the Oscars, I really thought this one was gonna win, because I thought it was really good, but...
It's good.
I think I need to go watch Flo. And
you know, if they didn't do the whole robot fight scene, maybe it would have won.
Truly could have resonated hard.
For sure. I think, this is a really interesting movie to... One, it grabs you right away. So sometimes it's hard for me to get into things because, like, it just... My attention just wanders off. But this one grabs you real quick. You're into it. Then once you're, like... Once your attention's been sufficiently grabbed, you're kind of locked into the movie, and then you're watching it, and the story progresses, and it starts telling you about, like, real moments, like we're talking about, starts teaching you things, starts having commentary on certain aspects of life. And one, it's visually a beautiful movie. The landscapes, the scenery is just awesome looking. The action and the animation is just... It's just very nice to watch. It doesn't feel over the top at all.
I think the word I would go for is, like, it's a playful one.
Playful. Interesting. I could see that.
You know? Like, it's not, I feel like it's not too, like, crisp or hard. Even with, like, the brush strokes for the animation.
Yeah, it feels more like an art piece than, like,
than
trying to be a sharp image.
Yeah.
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 No, I get that. I think that's nice. I mean, you can tell with this is a screenshot, right?
Yeah. This is I think this is, like, concept art, actually.
Oh, is it concept art?
Yeah, but it's not far off.
It feels really similar to that.
I mean, here, if you go to this one, this is straight up a screenshot, and you can see, like, on Roz's metal and stuff like that, you know, it's clearly, like, brush
strokes. You've got the brush strokes in the top, like, the top left of her, like, collar on the back. You can kind of see, like, cross-hatching type stuff. Like, it is made to look like art. It's not made to look like a robot, kind of.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know.
I feel like, you know what, that's actually really cool, because I feel like that's a bridge of, like, the duality between, like, robot mechanism and, like, human art element.
Sure.
It's bridging the gap between, like, ultra fine detail and, you know, human.
It almost looks like the eyes are a different art style than her body, if that makes sense.
No, I actually do know what you mean. That's where you get more of the, like, roboticness, I think.
I don't know. This is a great example of one of the, like, just stunning imagery in the movie that kind of pulls you in before it really starts telling, like, the actual, like, full-on story that you get something out of. Overall, I would say this is a very enjoyable watch. It's not How long is it? It's about an hour and a half, maybe, like, pretty...
Yeah, a little bit over, like, an hour 40.
Yeah.
But it's...
It doesn't feel slow. It's got good pacing. Yeah. And if you wanted a nice animated movie to watch that has beautiful imagery, and honestly, I can't remember the score. I think in a good way. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember it because I was so, like, encapsulated it. Together.
Fully. I think, like, if you hear the song that was put up for the Oscars, it'll immediately, like, put you back into the film.
Sure, yeah.
Because sometimes... It all worked cohesively.
Yeah, like, sometimes in movies, and I feel like this is an interesting commentary. This is just, like, audio in general to me a little bit. And this could just be my opinion that not other people share. But sometimes, like, just because something has, like, a really good score... doesn't make it super memorable in terms of, like, oh, I remember that specific song because it was really good. Other times, that can be the case. Like, in Arcane, another animated thing. Like, a lot of those songs are really memorable. Like, they punch you. But, like, at other times, there's those songs that are just, like, it fits perfectly with the movie, and I'm thinking of the movie as a whole rather than the song specifically. Rocky. And then, like, huh?
My thought as you're saying this is, like, Rocky. You can't name a single piece of the other composition.
I was going to say Tarantino movies. A lot of Tarantino movies, it's like the song is right there in your face. And not that it, like, draws you out a little bit. Like, it fits perfectly for the moment. But, like, I remember the song, and it's like, I don't remember the whole feeling of the movie. Versus this, I remember the whole feeling, kind of. I think this movie lives
in that feeling. Whereas, like, say in, like, a Tarantino, they use that score to, like, draw your attention back in.
Sure.
Like, I think with a Tarantino, you're getting a lot more of, like, hey, pay attention here, 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 and here. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying to bring, like, actually, like, bring your attention to something. Whereas this, I think, does a good job of, like, kind of holding your
It's more of an
attention.
Emotion.
Yeah, I feel like it's
more of a feeling.
It's more of a feeling, and it holds you throughout it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Let's, what would you rate this movie out of 10?
I'd definitely say it's, like, a solid, like, 8.5, 9 out of 10. I think it's a really good story. It's one that I can, you know, watch. I was actually, I was kind of hesitant to watch it a second time because I didn't want to, like...
You didn't want to, like...
I didn't want to, like, fall
got
down
it.
As I noticed things that I didn't quite, like, enjoy on a second watch, you know? Because I know I can be really analytical when it comes to, like, us watching these, and I know I, like... have paid attention to a lot of details in the past, and I feel like part of that takes away from some of the enjoyment of, like, overall, it's a great movie. And if I'm going to sit here and pick nits, I can definitely find, like, a thing or two that I think could have been better, especially if I watch it another couple of times.
But definitely.
Overall, I mean, it's definitely one of my favorite anime.
So you're going 8.5 to 9
8.5, 9.
Okay. We'll lock you in at 8.7.
I'm 8.75.
Cool
8.75, we'll split the diff. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. I think I'm going to go with a 7.8.
I figured you were going to go lower. Yeah.
7.8. I just feel like it's really hard to have, like, an absolutely perfect something. And
oh, absolutely.
A 7.8 in my book is a very solid rating. Like, that's a movie I would watch again.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that I think we should really try to do this season is
figure out an actual scale so people could, like...
No, not even that. Figure out how close we can get to perfection in a season.
Oh. This is a random question, and maybe to be answered off camera, but what's a perfect movie for you?
I think we both know that it's...
Okay.
Shawshank, right? That's, like, what everybody refers to as, like, the quote-unquote perfect movie.
I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
I don't know about that.
Okay.
All I'm saying is my perfect movie might be